Malik gonna stay? Coming up about 10 minutes, we'll talk to Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype. He just had a conversation with Malik about that very topic. So more on that coming up. Kyle Draper's birthday today. Thanks for helping us celebrate that. We just saw Kyrie here on TV. I forget who said this. I saw somewhere. It reminded me of a few years ago when Mark Jackson said, Steph and Clay are the best shooting backcourt ever. Somebody said, you can make the case that Luka and Kyrie, the most talented backcourt ever. What do you think of that at face value? Because, you know, it's one of those things where you go, oh, come on. When Mark Jackson first said what he said, I was like, come on. Then you think about it and you got to go, well.
Talent-wise? Yeah, they could be up there. And I was listening to SiriusXM NBA Radio. And Jay, we got to get our boy Antonio Daniels on the show tomorrow. We'll get AD on tomorrow. He'll be in town. It's a TNT game. I wonder if he's still traveling. Yeah. If not, we'll try and get Antonio Daniels. But that was one of the conversations they were having today on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Kyrie and Luka, the most skilled backcourt of all time. Okay. Yeah. And it's hard to think of a skill-wise, a better backcourt than those guys.
Kyrie reminds me a little bit of, and not that I knew what I was watching when I saw him, but Earl Monroe.
Ooh.
So Earl Monroe and Earl Frazier is pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That might be up there. Because I can't think of a better backcourt where both guys can handle the ball, can score at all three levels, can knock down the three, can finish around the rim, gets to the free throw line, and they can both beat double teams, too. They might be the most skilled backcourt ever.
They could be. And I don't like the Mavs, and I don't like Luka, but I got to say, all right, you may be onto something there, and man, they're playing well.
They are.
Remember when we just did, 2 weeks ago? We're sitting there going, oh, yeah, the Kings, they win both these games.
Right,
Dallas.
We beat the Mavs, Dallas. Right now, it doesn't look like we're in their league, right? I mean, they look in a different class than us
now. Yeah, but you know what? Tomorrow night, we're out at the arena and also Friday. And I know today's a tough day for a lot of Kings fans, and we've been talking about this, and we talked to Dave about it. I just think that a lot of the things that made this season disappointing for a lot of fans, to me, those are out the window. That was all based on expectation, right? And if you thought before the season started, hey, this could be a championship team, I mean, good for you for being a loyal fan, but no, that's way out of line.
Yeah,
but, so you set yourself up. But right now, given the injuries that the Kings are dealing with, I just don't feel like there's any room for those expectations.
No, and not at all. And I think right now we know the flaws with the roster. We know the injuries that are going on. And so I believe as the season goes on and more information comes in, you're allowed to adjust your expectations. And so I think this Kings team, what the problem is, the injuries and the guys we brought in, they just have not panned out.
Mm-hmm.
The Chris Duarte, it just has not panned out so far.
Yes. Do we have Michael's Scotto's ready to go here? Yeah, he was going
to
join us.
Oh,
he
wants to come on now.
He's got some things going on. So we good to go, Jay? Yeah, okay, nice enough to join us here. He hosts an outstanding podcast for Hoops Hype, NBA Insider for Hoops Hype. Michael Scotto joining us from the Barclay Center. So, Michael, thanks so much for your time. We understand you just recently chatted with Domas and Malik, right? Do we have Michael? Is Michael with us? Michael Scotto?
Michael line two.
Efforting.
All right. He should be there, but we'll get him as soon as we can. We're having some issues. Our apologies to you, dear listener, especially on Kyle's birthday.
I know, right? He's late on my birthday. I guess he's early, but
he's a little early. That's why we're having a little bit of an issue figuring out how to get him on. But we'll sneak him on as soon as we can here. But what's that? Yeah.
All
okay.
Right.
Thank you, Jay. As far as the Kings go, my point is, after you lost Malik and you lost Kevin Huerter, to me, some of the expectations that we had for this team, I don't think they're realistic right now.
Right.
So, they lost last night to a really good team. That's not to make excuses. That's the reality of this team. They shoot a lot of threes because they're shorthanded. You shoot a lot of threes, sometimes you're going to give up lead. So, they're playing meaningful games here. It's April. These next three games matter, and I choose to lean into that and enjoy that more than sit there and go, well, I thought this would be better.
Well, the problem, too, is fans are holding the expectations, still holding to those same expectations before the season.
Yes.
And we have to and that's why I said earlier, we got to have a realistic conversation about where this team is. Because we're not Denver, we're not Minnesota, we're not OKC. We're more in line with the Pelicans, the Phoenix Suns, and those kind of guys, those kind of teams. Think about it. As bad as we feel in Phoenix, they're feeling worse right now. Mm-hmm. Like you talk, they went out and got Bradley Beal. They made moves at the trade deadline. And there's talk that Frank Vogel might not even last to his second season. And so Kings fans want to check out, don't want to watch, want this season to end. This team, given the injuries, given no moves were made, given the offseason last year, the moves that Monty did make really haven't panned out, I think it's been an okay season. Not a great season, not an awful season. It's been an okay season.
I think it's been a good season.
Right.
I mean, again, you look at the history of the Kings in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And obviously it could end any which way here. And there are some ways it could end where you'd feel like, wow, that's pretty good. And some ways it could end where you'd feel like, ah, boy, that wasn't pretty. But still, overall, it's been a very compelling season. Compio, by the way, Compio's your guy.
He says, that is my guy.
Did Draper not see Jordan and Pippen? Pippen is a forward.
I know, that's not a backcourt. That's not see, Compio, man, his credibility is in ruins right now. It's tattered. Come on, man. Stick to golf, Compio.
All right. Nice enough to join us at long last. NBA Insider for Hoops Hype, host outstanding podcaster, Michael Scotto. Michael, how are you this evening?
Hey, fellas, doing well. Sorry about the technical difficulties coming to you from Barclays Center at the moment. How you guys doing?
Good. Man. It's not a problem at all. Understand you chatted recently with Domas and Malik. You know, people here, and this is going to be a story in the summer, however long it goes before we find out about Malik. People are already nervous about Malik. What did Malik have to say about you about staying in Sacramento?
Sure. I mean, look, Malik has made a clear to me, and you can listen, you can read the story on hoopsheim.com, but he made it clear that he felt comfortable here in Sacramento and that he would like to be back. The thing for Sacramento is they can offer at most 4 years, $78 million. So, you know, you're a little under 20 there, but I mean, I would like to think that that would be a fair enough offer if it got that high. It'll be interesting to see. The bigger question is going to be if some of these teams with cap space go after him that might be shooting, you know, a team maybe like, for example, Orlando. So time will tell on that. But they can go up to right now with his early bird rights, 4 years, $78 million. And, you know, he said, I'm comfortable in Sacramento. I'd love to play here again for sure. I've been here for 2 years and made friends with everybody from the training staff to the front office. But I think the real thing that, you know, was Domantas Sabonis being pretty definitive that he wanted Malik back. And he told me after the game against the Nets the other night, he said, quote, we better keep him. I think there's no excuse. I'll talk to Monty and Vivek, referencing GM Monty McNair and Vivek Ranadive. We got to keep him. He's a big piece for us moving forward.
Michael, did you get any sense on what might be important for Malik going forward? Is it money? Is it role? Is it championship? Did you get any sense at what, you know, is at the top of his priority list?
I mean, I would say both are going to factor in which has more of a – which he's going to lean more on. I would assume the money because, you know, this is a guy that just came off of making around – under $10 million, and there's a shot he can almost double it at, you know, at best with Sacramento and more than that if he goes elsewhere. So I would imagine that. He likes the role in Sacramento. He has a consistent role, and he's able to play more pick and roll and be a playmaker than he ever has in his career. So I don't expect that to be an issue. I think certainly it's just going to come down to how much more, if at all, a team with cap space tries to make a push for him, because you know that Sacramento can only go to that 4 year, $78 million mark.
Michael Scotto with us from Hoops Hype. Michael, this may not be fair, but I'm going to ask you anyway. We've been through this here in Sacramento, like fans of all cities have, where you have a player and, you know, players tend to say the right thing for the most part. Malik has shown in many different ways that it appears he does want to stay here. I'm not accusing him of anything, but you talk to a lot of players. Did you get a sense of how sincere he was, how much he meant it when he talked about how much he would like to stay in Sacramento.
That's a good question. Based on his body language, when we were his conversation I had was at Madison Square Garden, and you know, he hadn't really spoken to some of the reporters. I think Chris from the Sacramento Bee was asking about some other stuff separately, but he seemed to be in a great mood and genuine, and
that's Malik.
You know, smiling and spoke very glowingly, I would say, about his time in Sacramento. It seemed like he generally has enjoyed it there and does want to continue it. Now, I've had instances with separate players, you know, over the years. This is, you know, year 13 for me covering the NBA, where guys will, you know, they'll say they want to be there, but the tone is not as maybe enthusiastic, or the body language is different. But Malik is a very vibrant personality, and it showed when he was answering the questions. I felt he was very sincere, and I think he does what he would like to happen ideally. It's just going to be a question of whether a team, you know, blows him away with a when an offer more than that, which would be pretty substantial. I think Sacramento has a decent shot. You know, if he gets more than $20 million, hey, good for him. But I certainly think, you know, that's fair. He's going to be one of the top six man of the year guys going forward, let alone potentially the winner potentially this year. You know, he's in the mix with Naz Reid and a couple other players there. So, I mean, anything is possible, but I think it would be ballpark. I think that 4 for 78 is somewhere in the ballpark where he might end up anyway.
Michael, where do you think, you know, the competition comes from when it comes to Malik, you know, other teams? How sought after will he be, and where does he fit in the free agent market, you think, this offseason in the NBA?
Now, that's the hard question. The body language one, and was he sincere or not, that was easy. because it's early. I mean, look, you look at the landscape, and you see teams like Oklahoma City, Orlando, and, you know, teams like that. I don't really know if Malik would fit Oklahoma City or Orlando. They need shooting. I mean, it's possible, but they also have a bit of a glut of guards there. I think they might need a little bit more size. And I'm not, you know, so sure that, like, Klay Thompson is really a guy that they'll look at. I get the shooting aspect. That is one area that they do want to upgrade, but I don't know whether it's Klay or Malik. I don't know if those guys are the ideal fits just yet. It's hard to say. I think ultimately, if you ask me as of today, I would think Sacramento has a decent shot to keep him, given what they can offer. And clearly, you know, Domas, De'Aaron Fox, and Mike Brown was also on the record in the story saying that he hopes he's a king for a long time, and it's a short free agency for Malik Monk.
Catching up with Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype. I know you talked to Domas as well. And when the Kings made the trade, and then Tyrese Haliburton has done some phenomenal things. There's been a lot of people around the country that, oh, the Kings, why'd they make that trade? What's wrong with them? And as you know, Domas has played very, very well here. He just had his streak of double-doubles end at, what was it, 61, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Why do you think, Michael, that he doesn't get the recognition that at least those of us in Sacramento feel that he should deserve, given how well the team has played since he's gotten here?
Well, first of all, I think people in the NBA world will tell you that that was a win-win trade for both sides, because De'Aaron Fox would have never elevated to the level he's at with Tyrese there, and neither would Tyrese in Indiana. One guy had to have the keys, and you know, they felt that they could give it to De'Aaron and then upgrade in the front court with Domantas Sabonis, who should have been an All-Star this year, in my opinion, but wasn't, and so. Yeah, I know it's tough because then you got to knock somebody out. But the bottom line is, I mean, he's done everything that they've wanted since coming there. They've made the playoffs, and this year, you know, they broke their drought. And now this year, I know it's been a little tougher, but that's because the West has gotten so much better. I still think they're a competitive team that's on the rise, you know, with Keegan Murray as well. I don't know. You know, his game isn't flashy, even though he's a double-double guy. He's not like a high flyer. He just gets the job done at an efficient rate. I just think that's what it is. Whereas Tyrese, shooting the three ball and high assist numbers. Like, more people focus on point guard than a center in the league, because there's few and far between at that position that are good, at an elite level, I should say. So I just think it's a mixture of that. But overall, it was really one of the few genuine win-win trades for both organizations. You rarely kind of see that in the NBA.
Michael, how do you see the Kings, situated, prepared for the future? You know, obviously some Kings fans, you know, a little disappointed at the standings right now, where they stand. How are they positioned for the future, do you think?
Well, I mean, look, first off, I think while Malik has ascended, Kevin Huerter had a little bit of a down year comparatively to last year. But, I mean, overall, I think if you look at the team, you say to yourself, you know, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox are consistent all-star caliber guys, maybe some, you know, all-NBA level players, depending on the year. And you have that as your base. Keegan Murray has become a lot better defensively, I think, than a lot of people thought, and is adding more to his game. I think he's going to be an X factor for them ultimately and how far they can go. You know, I think the tandem of Monk and Huerter has been fine, but I could see one of those guys not being back next year. And, you know, if they re-sign Malik, then, you know, Kevin Herter's name came up in trade talks, and certainly I touched on him on Hoopsite before the trade deadline. So, you know, maybe that's a move there. But I think their core is good. I think Mike Brown gets the most he can out of them. And, you know, I think the biggest thing otherwise would be what are you going to get from Harrison Barnes going forward, or does he become a trade chip down the line? But the core is young enough where you've got a sustainable foundation for several years ahead, and that's always, I think, half the battle in the league. So tinkering on the edges, Sacramento has the ability on paper to do, and with Keegan as an X factor, I do think there's upside. I don't know if they're a finals contender yet. I think there's still another, maybe one more big move away, and I'm not sure if that would involve trading Keegan or trading other pieces to get like a good fourth guy, like almost the way like the Knicks were able to get OG Anunoby by moving RJ Barrett and Emmanuel quickly and kind of going that way with the way they built their team. So I do think there's upside. I think they do have another level to get to, though, and it could take another year or two to get there with potential trades that they would have to get there.
Oh, Michael, that hurts a little bit. Michael Scudder with us from Hoops Hype, which you should be checking out every day, and he has an interesting piece up today about his conversations with Malik and Domas. That hurts because we believe the Kings were interested in OG and they weren't able to get him. But I want to ask you about Malik. And Malik being Malik, when you asked him if he deserved to be Sixth Man of the Year, he said, absolutely, should have won it last year. What do you think his chances are? Who's his main competition for that award?
Sure. I mean, Malik was funny. He said, I said to him, where do you think you stack up this year? He said, number one, 1,000%. He said, I thought I was number one. He said, I thought I was number one last year, too. And, I mean, his biggest competition is really, I would say, probably Naz Reid, you know, who's getting some extended run here since Towns has been out for Minnesota. Bobby Portis with the Milwaukee Bucks. And I think another guy that will draw votes but won't win is going to be Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Atlanta Hawks. Mm. You know, maybe you sprinkle some Norman Powell there with Caris LeVert, but I really think it's a three-person race between Malik Monk, Naz Reid, and Bobby Portis. And, you know, it's interesting because those guys are a little higher with their teams in the standings, but Malik is outscoring them and out has more assists than them. But obviously, as bigger guys, they're going to dwarf him in the rebounding category. So should make for an exciting race. You know, I don't know if it's a 1,000% as Malik Monk said, but I certainly think he's got a stronger case this year than last year, and time will tell.
Do you think this injury will hurt him at all in the eyes of some voters for Sixth Man? I mean, the dude still played 72 games.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the third time. It's the third straight year that he's done that, which for him was important. But for Malik, I would say that it could. If it's like a recency bias, you know, I can see that argument, but I think he did enough. What would have been interesting to me was if Sacramento had kind of fallen off of a cliff without him, it almost, you know, would have hurt for the team. But as an individual case, you know, you could market that and say, hey, you know, without me in the lineup, you know, this started sinking like the Titanic a little bit. But they've kind of hovered around 500 thus far. So I think it's a push, ultimately. I don't think it's going to hurt or help him right now.
Michael, before we let you go, and we, of course, appreciate your time, I just want to get your thoughts on what went down last night between the Bucks and the Celtics, the way they're officiating the games now since the All-Star break. Obviously, it's been something we've been talking about for weeks here, but two free throws in the game last night. I mean, come playoff time, are we just going to have people tackling opponents, or where is this all headed?
I would say the officiating this year has kind of been a little bit like a seesaw. Sometimes I've watched games earlier in the year and I felt like it was a free throw contest. I know, ironically, Darko, the Raptors coach, was furious after, I think it was the Laker game. You know, and that was the infamous Scotty Barnes is going to be an All-Star. You know, that was that rant. And I always got a kick out of that. And to his credit, when Scotty was an All-Star and they named him, I tweeted the video because, you know, hey, he shot a shot. But now, to your point, it has swung the opposite way, and there had been more of an emphasis on trying to bring the scoring down a little bit, and it was too much offense. But I've never seen it like that, like mid-season. Usually you're implementing stuff after the season, new rules to try and curb it, if anything. And I do think it had – look, I'm just being honest. I've seen too many games where it's like, you know, 120, 140, and it's like I'm watching Rucker Park in New York basketball. It's like the AAU circuit.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, you know, even in the All-Star game in particular, like, nobody – it's like a turnstile out there. So I'm not surprised. I think in the playoffs I would expect games to be closer to the 100 to 110 range, if that gives you, like, a better estimate. But, you know, the whistles depend every game. All I ask, and I think fans ask for, and the players especially, is consistency. If you're going to call it one way, call it one way, but be consistent. And different officials have different styles, and, you know, we'll see if, you know, like Scott Foster and Chris Paul meet in the playoffs. Like, the fact that that's a narrative is a little odd. Like, I don't think, like, that should be. But, you know, every once in a while you had, like, you know, Joe Crawford and Tim Duncan and, you know, they used to call, like, Dick Bavetta Nick Bavetta. So it's always been part of it. So it just adds to the storyline. But I'm here hoping for, like, 100 to 110 games personally.
Gotcha. If you're not reading Hoops Hype every day, you should be. Yes. Michael Scotto from Hoops Hype. Thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it. Oh, we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, fellas. Take care. Have a great night.
All right, Michael.
Very interesting look at Domas and Malik. So, Malik's staying? Is that what we're to conclude? We're back with that in the Drive, guys. That's next on Sacktown Sports. Here's kind of where we are today, and we appreciate you being with us and contributing to the vibe on Drape's birthday. Back-to-back messages from the same person here on the text line. All in caps, the first one, talking about Domas. Quote, dude snapped his streak because he missed free throws. And then the next one is, by the way, happy birthday, Drapes. Never met you, but you my guy.
Nice. Never met you, but you're my guy. Whoever that is from the 916, you're my guy also. Appreciate the birthday wishes, man.
And then somebody here about Michael Scotto. This dude must have some uncles that'll make you sleep with the fishes.
With the fishes, huh? Dude, clearly he's a New Yorker, a New Jersey.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere out
Very
there,
authentic.
Right? Authentic. Yes, yes.
You, fellas, I've known Mike quite a while. Would he say he was in 15, 13 years?
13 years, right?
It doesn't feel that way. I remember he started and he was with Chad Ford. Remember Chad Ford?
Yes,
he was a big-time NBA guy. I can't remember what Chad Ford's spinoff at the moment, but it's been, they've jumped through so many different hoops to get the hoops hype at this point. They're like NBA exclusive and all these, the NBA insiders. Remember that? NBA insiders.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. But Mike's been a good dude. And it's funny because he always has always talked about, you know, his accent. Yeah. His accent. So it's funny that when someone said that, I was like, oh, it's hilarious.
Well, he seems to think that Malik is serious about wanting to stay here. What do you think, Drapes? Do you think he stays? Does Malik stay?
I think he wants to, but I think when the Brinks truck backs up from Orlando or San Antonio or Detroit or whoever it may be, that's going to be hard to turn down because this is his first big, massive contract that he can sign. It's going to be hard.
When Domas goes to Monty and he goes to Vivek, what are they going to say?
Right.
We're going to give him all we can give.
We're going to give him what we can, right.
See, that worries me because if Malik doesn't go, if he doesn't stay, there's going to be a lot of fans that say, how did they let him go?
But and, it's up to us, I think. Let me say this, and fans might take this the wrong way. Fans get their knowledge from the media and social media. So if we push the narrative, which is true, that the most they can offer is $478, and Malik signs for $490, then it's pretty obvious.
Right.
Now, if he signs for $470 or something somewhere else, then it's like, how could you let him go? But, you know, I think we have to, you know, people that listen to us, we got some loyal listeners out there, obviously, they understand the situation. Like, if Malik gets offered $425, like, what can you do? Mm-hmm. You can't do anything about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't begrudge him for getting that bag.
No, I don't either.
Yeah.
It was interesting that Michael said that Malik seems to be comfortable with his role because a lot of us have been wondering, wow, he might have a chance to start, and he's a human being. Wouldn't you rather start? But if he stays here, and maybe I just want to think it, I think it's more likely he stays. That would speak volumes as to the culture here and what's going on because that's a guy that willingly kind of took the back seat, said, all right, if it's good for the team, I'll do this when he's clearly one of their best players. If he signs up for that again, I think that says a lot about where this whole thing could be headed.
You know what Malik is, and it just hit me. Malik is this year's Naz Reid. Naz Reid could have got a lot more on the open market, decided to come back and re-sign with Minnesota. Bobby Portis could have left Milwaukee a couple of years ago, but he liked it. They had a good team. He felt the fit was perfect, so he took less to stay in Milwaukee. Would Malik be that person? You know, it's interesting. You know, we see his relationship with Mike Brown. Sometimes it looks frosty, but you know the love is there between those two guys. And I thought about a month ago, Malik talked about wanting to be a starter.
Yeah,
you
know,
remember
I know.
It wasn't in an article or something. Might have been Sam Amick or somebody that had an or Slates or somebody, right? And who could blame him? And so there's so many factors that I think play into this for Malik Monk, and I think it's a decision that he doesn't even know right now which way it's going to go. I mean, I think he's going to entertain all offers and really take his time figuring out what he wants to do.
If you were a team that had the space, let's just say you're San Antonio or you're Orlando and you're looking at Malik, you would have some concerns, wouldn't you? Because you'd actually be asking him to do more than he's ever done before.
Right, right.
Offering a lot of money for a guy. And we want you to do something that we think you can do, but you've never actually had to do it before.
But it's risky, and that's how it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a team like San Antonio or Detroit or whoever, you got to take some risk, you know? I look at a guy like James Harden when he left OKC, got traded to Houston. They didn't know that he could become James Harden, that, you know, MVP candidate. They thought, man, if we can get him in with a bigger role, he could be better. Maybe there's that thinking with Malik Monk as well. An increased role, he can become even better than what we've seen.
Do you remember the Warriors when they figured out, Steve Kerr figured out he wanted Iguodala coming off the bench?
Yeah.
And Iguodala was, people forget, he was an all-star, wasn't he? He was in Philly.
He was an all-star. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And then so he had to say, okay, I'll come off the bench. He did. He ended up being the finals MVP coming off the bench. But right. I think that was just a seminal moment for their quote unquote culture that you have a great player like that. Who's, and then how can anyone else complain about doing what's best for the team? And I think we have a similar situation here. The Kings haven't won anything yet.
Right.
So they're
right.
still putting all that together. And there's still some questions about where it all goes. But if a guy like Malik signs up for more of that, I think that really bodes well for the future of this team staying on track together.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the history of the Sacramento Kings, one of the issues this team has had is lack of continuity. Like, you know, it's whether it's coaches, GMs, players,
right.
It's been a revolving door around here. And, you know, we talk so much about Denver. And, you know, I believe Monty McNair, his goal and hope is that we let this team grow together. You know, and sure, you make tweaks, you do some adding. Keegan will get better next year. You bring back Malik, hopefully. And so I don't think, you know, this franchise is about letting their players walk away, especially when you know how hard it is to get free agents here in Sacramento. And here's the thing, too. It's not like you could just go out there and, all right, Malik's getting, you know, we offered him $20 million. He turned it down. Now we can go out and get another $20 million per year guy. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. And so it's vital that they find a way to keep him here.
Do you think that his friendship with De'Aaron Fox will be a big factor in deciding whether he wants to stay here?
I think so. I think that plays into the comfort level, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it.
But I'll tell you what, I don't know if I'm giving up $5, $6 million a year just to play with my best friend. I mean, unless Fox is trying to break him off, you know, with some of that bread on the side or something. But
let's say some other station somewhere else in the country offered you $5 or $6 million more. You'd want to stay with me and Jay, wouldn't you?
Huh? What was that question? You said $5 or $6 million and my eyes got all glossy and everything. I was like, what? You talking 6, 7, 8 zeros now, my friend. So, no, I would definitely stay. I would take a pay cut to stay with you guys.
He's here on his birthday.
I'm here on my birthday. Dude, I'm looking at that clock. Every 10 seconds, I am ready to get out of here. No offense, listeners, but it's Drape's birthday. I need to go out and start enjoying it today, man.
All right.
We got one more segment.
I think we'll stay over today. We'll do
extra.
A couple extra segments. Yeah, when we come right back. All right, so what's a successful season now with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports? Oh, it's so nice. I know how close you are with a meal for Ghost, so we just came in to wish a happy birthday.
That's my guy, man. You know what, though? Emil's funny, man. He's like, Drapes, you got any big plans tonight? I think he was secretly hoping I would invite him to come hang out with me
and be part of the crew, but
nah, he's not. I told you, he's at the kids' table, big fella. You know, no, I'm joking. Emil's my guy.
Nice
he's
he
my guy.
In.
No, him and I love to hate each other, man. He's my guy, man. I'm messing around.
You look at the standings right now. Of course, you got Phoenix 46-33, seventh. The Kings 45-34, eighth. So you'd love for the Suns to stumble tonight when they play the Clippers. However, on Wednesday afternoon, according to NBA.com, the Clippers ruled out forwards Paul George, left knee soreness, and Kawhi Leonard, right knee inflammation, and guard James Harden, right foot inflammation. In addition, Russell Westbrook,
unbelievable,
left hand contusion, and Ivica Zubac, left ankle inflammation,
what the heck?
Are listed as questionable.
I'm about to hit Ty Lue up and be like, what are you doing,
I don't
bro?
I think you're going to get a helping hand from the Clips tonight, but you never know.
I think they're scared of the Kings. They don't want the Kings anywhere near to play in or making it or playoffs or anything. Like, and I understand they got a 2-game lead over Dallas in that race for the fourth spot, I believe. But to be resting everybody, that's unheard of. Like, this is a massive game, and it kind of cheapens the end of this season, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Think what Kings fans would be saying if they were Suns fans after what happened to the Suns last night, losing that game. What was it? It was 34-3 or something. They trailed by
37-10. Yeah.
And Devin Booker was 12 points on 1 of 11. Not to make excuses for anybody, but these things happen.
Yeah. And mind you, that was in Phoenix, their final home game.
Right.
It was their final home game of the regular season, and they laid an egg against the shorthanded Clippers team, too.
10 points in the first quarter for the Suns. So is that why Coach Vogel's job is.
Oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah. And I guess he was a little short in his post-game press conference as well. A little testy, if you will. And so, yeah, they got some issues over there in Phoenix.
Russell Westbrook, 16 points, 15 boards, 15 assists.
Triple-double. Yeah. His first one in a few years, I believe.
Didn't know he could still do that.
Man, we need the Clippers to just win one more. Win tonight, Clippers, and we'll take care of business Friday.
That's right. Amir Coffey goes for 41. Yeah. Norman Powell.
You know what's interesting, Whitey? I'm just doing the math in my head. If Clippers win tonight, Phoenix loses, then, of course, we got to beat the Pelicans.
Right.
We can end the Phoenix Suns' hopes of a seventh seed Friday with a win. Because then we'll have a one-game lead. We got the tiebreaker, so it doesn't matter what happens on Sunday. So we got to handle our business. Root for the Clippers tonight, obviously.
Right.
Handle our business tomorrow against the Pelicans.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Ramsey's been hanging on. Hello, Ramsey. How are you?
Not too much. First and foremost, happy birthday, Drapes.
It's my guy.
Well said.
It's birthday season around here. My birthday was Saturday. My son's birthday was Monday, and my girlfriend's birthday is on Saturday. So it's Aries season one time.
Yes, nice. It is. Yes, it is. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. And while we're out here celebrating, giving flowers, celebrating birthdays and everything, we got to give flowers to one of the GOATs that just retired yesterday in Stanford. Women's head coach, Tara Vanderveer.
Yes, yes.
I mean, 40 years, multiple championships, and I'm glad she got one a couple years ago before retirement. Granted, she'll probably get past in all-time wins with only four wins next season by Gina Auriemma, but she's coached some legends. And I hope that the Stanford program stays on the same level that it's been at for the past 30-plus years. With the new program, with the new plans they have in place, even though they are going from the Pac-12 to the ACC.
Thank you, Ramsey.
Yeah, don't good
you
think stuff.
Also, it has to be great for her, very gratifying, everything she's been through, to be bowing out at a time when the women's game is more popular
at its all-time high. Exactly.
She contributed to that.
Yeah, and they had a great season. Obviously, Cameron Brink leading the way out there. And, you know, to do it as long as she did and at a sustained level and build that program up, she'll be missed. And you should see some of the tributes out there on social media. They say she's probably one of the nicest people.
I've read something about that.
Out there in the world.
Casey Pratt posted
something. Yeah, Casey Pratt posted something about that. And so shout out to Tara Vanderveer, a great career.
Tin joining us now. Tin's been hanging on. Hey, Tin, what's up?
Not much. Just happy birthday, Draper.
My guy, Tin. What's up, man? Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all you got, Tin?
All right, Tin.
All right, okay. Caller of the day right there, baby.
916-339-1140. Now you say, he's my guy, he's my guy. Tin's your guy.
Tin's my guy.
He held on a long time.
For like an hour, he was... Just to say happy birthday. You know, you could tweet at me too, Tin, and I'll see it on the YouTube chat
too. Nice.
That was sweet, man. That was sweet.
Uh-huh. Ashley joins us here, Drive Guys. Hello, Ashley.
Hello. Hey, what's up? I just wanted to call in and say one happy birthday.
Thank you.
It's Rich, obviously. And also, besides that, I just wanted to see, do you think that, or is it still possible, I guess, not do you think, is it still possible for us to get to the 16th? I believe I was doing some math on it. I believe it is, but I wasn't 100% sure. I just wanted to see what your guys' thought on that.
Yes, Ashley, yes. Believe there is a Santa Claus. The Kings would have to win out, and then the Pels would have to lose out. But that... Not likely, but it could happen. There is a path.
Yeah, it could happen. When you look at the schedule, sure, the Kings got a tough schedule. Anytime you got to play Pelicans and Phoenix. But also, the Pelicans have the Lakers and the Warriors to finish out the season. So, you know, and those two teams still got a little bit to play for. So hopefully our California teams can help us out.
There you go, Ashley. Thank you. Yes.
All right.
It's certainly doable. And then two more wins. For the Kings, I know there's only three games left, but two more wins clinches at least eight. And I think the Kings have a magic number of finishing ahead of the Lakers and the Warriors. It's two for each of those teams.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, before the pre-play-in days, you clinch eighth, you're in the playoffs.
Right.
And that's back-to-back trips to the playoffs, and I think we're all happy about that. What's interesting about this, Whitey, is two more wins takes you to 47. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of the season, we would have loved to have 47. We would have been A-OK with 47 wins, you know? And I think it's just we didn't know the West was going to be this difficult. We didn't know Dallas was going to improve and take that step. OKC, all these – the Pelicans even – mostly healthy, you know, compared relatively to previous years. And so I think it's an accomplishment, man. 47 wins, that would be nice.
I said before the season started, it's a successful season if the Kings reach the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Yes. Where are you now with that whole thing of what's a successful season? And I know we got a lot of things that we're going to determine here the rest of the way. Maybe it's not clear, but what would you say?
I would say yes, a successful season to make the playoffs. And I go back to what I said a segment or two ago. As the season goes on and new information comes in, you're allowed to adjust your expectations. At the beginning of the year, I was saying it has to be second round. Well, now you got injuries to Malik. Now the Western Conference is more difficult. And so I think just getting into the playoffs, not just the play-in, would be a successful season.
I think it's possible that you don't get out of the play-in and it could still be considered, depending on how they play in the play-in, if that's what it comes to. I would be maybe even willing to say.
I don't know.
Look, they're up against it right now.
Don't start preparing for an L, Whitey. Don't start preparing for an L.
I mean, anything in there. There's a wide range of possibilities here.
Okay. I get it. The injuries are huge. Maybe they're even being understated when you think about
it.
You're talking two of your top five guys that you're missing.
Mm-hmm. By the way, shout out to Drape's son today. Did very well.
Yeah. Shot 42 today in golf. So solid, man. I'm stoked for him. He had a rough day a couple of days ago when I was out there. But today he bounced back.
It's a brutal game.
It really is.
I almost called it a sport.
Your boy Jay thinks it's easy, right? He said, it's pretty easy. It's like throwing darts.
He says it's a hobby. It's not a game or sport. It's a hobby.
Oh, my gosh, man. So, no, shout out to him, man. He did well, and so I'm happy for him. His team won, Vista Del Lago Golf. Shout out to them, man. They got a W today.
Well, we appreciate that you came in on your birthday.
Yeah. I should get double pay for this. Seriously? Like, birthday pay should be double pay working on your birthday.
Oh. And you still got a wonderful, hopefully a wonderful evening stretched out before you. So, thank you. Happy birthday. Great job, Jay. Thank you for being with us. What's up next?
CBS National.
Okay.
National.
I want to make sure I wasn't missing.
Oh, no, actually, I'm sorry. Golf to Go.
That's right. Yeah, speaking of the great game of golf, or the great hobby of golf, as Jay would say, Golf to Go is next right here on Sacktown Sports.